Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it.
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We will definitely revisit that commercial we just heard at some point. But right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Let's talk with Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, guys.
When you look at the kind of up and down nature of the team's run defense thus far this season, do you think that it's injuries at play, or is it just kind of a varying level of execution from week to week?
I would probably say the latter. I mean, obviously, the injuries don't help your situation when you're trying to be more consistent and execute on a high level. Obviously, we were missing, and nobody's complaining, our three safeties. We lost our fifth one. Halfway through the game, but you know, that everybody deals with that, and we have to work through that. And the bigger thing is, I'd start with giving Denver a lot of credit. I mean, Sean's got a great offensive mind, and he looked at the tape against Washington, and they had some good things that caused us problems. And we've got to continue to come up with solutions that are going to fit our personnel the best right now while we're getting healthy. Obviously, we got guys that are going to be coming back, whether it's Dono or Hooker or Wanye or Overshone or, any of these guys that could certainly help us. But in the meantime, we've got to, do a better job. We're not getting the job done. We know we're not getting it done. You are what you are. And certainly, right now we're ranked 32nd in defense in the league, and we've got to be better than that if we want to give ourselves opportunity to win games. Obviously, that was a tough environment. Their defense played really well. It's a hostile crowd there, and we didn't play as well as we think we can play on offense. And certainly our defensive play, we weren't able to go toe-to-toe with them. So certainly the performance was disappointing at best.
Is there, especially when you use the term toe-to-toe, is there anything in particular, whether it's getting more pressure on the quarterback, whether it's cutting down on the big plays, is there anything in particular that you look at as you're like, that's the linchpin to this defense perhaps playing better?
Yeah, I think there's some things we're looking at. Obviously, we want right to work on it. And, I think most of our depths and our defensive line, and we got to look at some options there. I think stopping the run is a big thing, and you said it best to start the show. We're not doing a good job. We've been inconsistent at best, and you know, you got to start. We need to stop that run. And we're looking at some options there and, you know, see what we can do. But, you know, it is the full body of work at the end of the day. And we've got to, you know, we've got to do everything, you know, better than what we're getting done right now.
Those options that you're kind of looking at, are you looking at the defensive tackle spot, defensive end spot? What would be the one you like the most there?
I just think it's all the, you know, all the above.
Okay.
We've got to get up there and give ourselves an opportunity. And, you know, a lot of this is fits and, you know, the safeties are involved in the fits. And we've got to, you know, one time I think we had our nickel corner back there playing safety. So we've just got to get in here and roll up our sleeves and go back to work and improve.
And I know I asked you this similar question 2 weeks ago, but I think it helps shape y'all's philosophy and helps inform the audience. When you say that, it is because you still believe this team has the makings of a team that could make it to the playoffs, yes?
Absolutely. I mean, we're going to continue to grind it. I think, you know, offensively, we've got the pieces there, you know, to be an outstanding team, and we've got to continue to look at the ways that we can improve this defense and, you know, make some stops. And if we can get some stops, then, you know, I think our offense will play well. They've played well all year. Like I said, we had some unfortunate turnovers. We lost the turnover battle, which isn't, that certainly doesn't lead to winning the football game. So we got to be better there. But you also got to give Denver credit. They've got a really good defense. They lead the league in sacks. Obviously, they got a lot of pressure on Dak yesterday, and we have to be better.
You know, Steven, I think it was Jerry told us a couple weeks ago that the Washington game wasn't necessarily the thing that would make any decisions there. A couple times we use the word rewarding your team by adding a player that could help put you over the top, like in a big trade or something like that. What would be a good measuring point, a good place that you would go, okay, I do need to reward this team because they did that for us?
Yeah, I think we're always, you know, one thing that I think people don't understand is we work every year, especially as you roll down to the trade deadline. You know, we make every call. We talk to all 31 teams. And see if there's, you know, options there that make sense for us that would be the right thing to do. And if that opportunity presents itself, you know, which we're looking at options right now, and we'll decide if we think, you know, that's the best option for us at the moment. And but that's every year. We're always looking for ways to improve our team. Obviously, this trade deadline comes early in the NFL. And certainly we have to take a long, hard look at that and see if the right opportunity's there.
I don't suppose you can give us any more insight about specifics on what you're looking at, right?
No, we can't do that.
Or the teams you've called.
Yeah, worth worth a shot. Now, you go back to yesterday's game, and I know the issues that we've already talked about with the defense, but the false start on the first offensive drive and then James Houston being offsides, those two plays right there could have swung the balance of the game 11 points. It's not just the number of penalties. It felt like those two specifically, did you feel like they changed the trajectory of that game?
I think Coach Schottenheimer always addresses that. The pre-snaps are unacceptable. We have to be better than that. Our players got to be better than that. And those are all things we can do something about in terms of being more disciplined. And, I mean, you're correct. They certainly were huge penalties. I mean, we got a 3-and-out there. If Houston's head's not across the ball, and certainly, you know, the motion we had there you know, when we're at the half-yard line, you know, that hurts. When you're on the road, you got to get your touchdowns, and especially, you know, where we are right now with this team, we got to, you know, we got to maximize our points and maximize our possessions. But you make good points on all the above. So, you know, we just we didn't play well enough to win the game yesterday. You got to start with giving Denver credit. But we got to go. Everybody's got to look in the mirror and see where they can be better.
Now, absolutely, Denver deserves credit, and they are up to 6-2. On the flip side, I know Parcells would always say you are what your record is. Is there any concern for you or the organization that if you look inside this team's record just a little bit, the teams that y'all have beaten are now a combined 6-17?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't look at that in terms of the teams we've beaten, the teams we've tied, the teams we've, you know, at the end of the day, we're 3-4-1, and that's what we are. We have to be better than that. That's not going to get us in the playoffs. So we've all obviously got to change the narrative there. You know, and as I said, it all starts, you know, had one of our top players say, we all got to look in the mirror. And that starts at the top and goes from our executives to our personnel people to our coaching staff to our players. We all have to be better.
You know, I'm glad you said that, too, because it starts with the Shoddy said yesterday after the game that his play calling wasn't good enough, and he mentioned that multiple times. Do you feel like he was kind of falling on the sword there, or do you feel like you kind of got the same vibe that his play calling wasn't at its best yesterday?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the details of each individual person. We all have to be better, and certainly he made that statement as well. And whether it's Jerry, whether it's myself, whether it's Will McClay and his staff, whether it's Shoddy and his staff, or our players, we have to be better.
Jaden Blue yesterday had a couple of flashes. He had the 14-yard run. He also had the fumble. What kind of gauge are you getting on what Blue is and the opportunities he earns and deserves?
Good point. He's a young player that I think has tremendous upside, as everybody's seen. It flashes. But at the same time, he's got to be more consistent himself. And certainly the fumble didn't end up hurting us. But he's got to clean those type of things up. At the same time, you see the juice that he has and the explosion that he can bring. But he's a young player that I think is just going to continue to get better. But, it's got to start today. He's got to, just like the rest of us, we all got to, get to work.
How do you monitor the progress of Wanye Thomas? Because I know he's had issues with migraines. What's the level of concern for him?
Well, it's just, it's like any medical thing. You're looking for the answers. This is not a clear-cut situation. We've run a lot of tests on him in terms of his concussions. And, our thought process is hopefully this thing clears up and, he can continue to help us because certainly we miss him. You miss Hooker, you miss Dono, you miss those guys. They're guys we were counting on when the season started, but, that's part of the NFL. Every team, goes through this. That's the nature of our game, and, we've got to continue to push forward with the guys who are available, and hopefully the guys who aren't will be available sooner than later.
Then that question obviously stands for Trayvon Diggs. Do you feel like he can still contribute to this team once his injured reserve time is up?
Yes, I think he very well can. We felt like this was in his best interest. As you know, he's been on and off injury reports all year with his knee and, the condition of one of his knees and certainly the concussion. He still hadn't cleared protocol yet there, and we just felt like, it was in his best interest, our best interest, for him to just get well. I think that's the number one thing with him, and then hopefully the rest will follow. But now he'll get the opportunity to do that without the pressure of the week-to-week or, of are you going to play or not.
Did Trayvon Diggs hold the same opinion that this was in his best interest?
Yeah, we won't get into all the private conversations that we have internally.
That might be the answer to this one as well. Do you feel as though there are lingering issues between Trayvon and the club?
Same answer. I mean, we have ongoing dialogue with players all the time, pretty much for the most part with all of them. And, we don't share that dialogue.
Does Joe Milton throw the prettiest deep ball in the NFL?
I tell you what, he's a gifted guy. And certainly, the pass to JT and great work by JT as well. Certainly good to see Joe go out there and have some success and, you know, JT, you know, execute on his behalf.
There's one other player I forgot to ask about. How y'all feeling about the progression back of Cooper Beebe? I know he wasn't able to play this weekend, but how are y'all feeling about how he's coming along?
Yeah, I think this week will be the week. He was real close. You know, it was his first week of practice after coming off that injury, and we just felt like he wasn't quite there and couldn't play at a level, you know, that he expected to play at or that would be in his best interest to activate him last week. But he was so close, and, you know, believe this will be the week.
Appreciate the time. As always, good sir. We'll catch you next Monday.
Thank you, guys.
There you go, Stephen Jones right here on one.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
105.3 The Fan.
I mean, how frustrating. Patrick Surtain gets hurt twice, couldn't play in the second half. Cowboys could not take advantage of it. Was that the end? Was that the end of the 2025 season we just saw?
Man, it's possible. You know, it's one of those where you look at the schedule, you've put yourself in a pretty tough hole. Now, there are some winnable games. Arizona, I know they're favored right now. I mean, I was saying on the post game, I've seen Kyler Murray. He just turns into Superman. He gets into AT&T Stadium. So this is not going to be an easy one. Vegas, you'd like to think you got a shot. You got the Giants again on the schedule. You got Washington again on the schedule. Philly, I think you play well, especially at home. They almost beat him at the first game of the season. But, I mean, you're going to have to steal one that you don't think that you have a shot. So, is that the Lions game? Probably not. Maybe the Chiefs, you're at home. You feel...
Short week.
This offense is just looking like night and day. Like, they figure it out at home. They can put up points. But I don't know if it's the communication, whatever it is on the road, they struggle. So, the Chargers, can you knock them off? But... like, it's starting to get close to, yes, the season's lost.
Kind of looked like maybe the elevation was getting to CeeDee Lamb. Is that why he kept taking himself out of the game? Did we ever find out?
I think it was his ankle. He re-injured it. Not to the significance of how it happened the first time. but he got bumped and it slowed him down in the game, from what I understand.
Well, we're on this pattern now of it looking like they're the worst team ever and they might not even win eight games, and then they win and it's like, well, maybe if you make a trade, you can, you know, be a playoff team, and if you make a couple of trades, maybe you could be a realistic contender. I think Tony nailed it when he said this kind of feels like the team he played for in 2013 that lost to the Broncos and went into Week 17 with a chance to make the playoffs, but ultimately was a disappointment. When this offense is clicking, I think they can beat anybody. Now, they got a gauntlet coming up here with the game against Philly, Detroit, and Kansas City, three in a row. The end could come then, and let's consider the fact that this first half of the schedule that they're just concluding and these next two are a part of that. The schedule is going to get significantly more difficult and once you get to late November and into December and early January. So, you know, we'll be talking about the draft and, you know, a real chance won't materialize. But I do kind of expect them to play better against Arizona and then the bye week and then the Raiders. Right now, you have to ask yourself, how many trades would they have to make? And is it realistic that they would actually do that? I think to answer the question, I would imagine this could put some urgency into you. But, you know, Stephen's tone today was more reserved and more accountable for not being good than strident of, oh yeah, we got a damn good defense and this thing's gonna, you know, I'm hearing less confidence. He did say we still could be a playoff team. We're going to continue to grind. If we can get some stops, I think our offense will play well. But that's a big if. This defense is not getting any stops. What happened last night was a complete disaster.
Absolute embarrassment.
To start it off with the run from Harvey and then the wide open players, like the players are throwing their shoulders up and shrugging, but they're just flat out not good enough.
Amen. You don't have NFL players.
Yeah.
I mean, you going back, I had to stop at halftime rewatching the All-22 this morning because it was just like revolting.
Sick to your stomach.
Yeah. It was, I mean,
not safe for work.
You got guys that just, they're not getting off blocks. They're taking. I mean, what is Kyrie Elam doing when he's trying to fill a run? I mean, honestly, you have players out there that look like they don't necessarily want to be part of the action. It's like, is Kenneth Murray running away from tackles sometimes, or is he just running into blocks? The effort, and once I start to see maybe effort being a question, that's when I'm going to start to look at the coach here.
Yeah,
and I don't think Flus is getting fired in the season, but I don't think he's back next year. I think it's going to be a Mike Nolan one and done situation here. Because I think, I do think the bigger problem is the personnel sucks. And how bad is Kalen Carson? Carson was dressed yesterday.
Sure,
this is the second week in a row he can't get on the field. You got Triquez Bridges, who is a 7th-round, 25-year-old rookie. The Chargers said, we don't want you on our team. Cowboys pick him up. He's on the practice squad. He's starting for you. Kalen Carson, the guy you drafted in the middle rounds, you thought was pretty good. He can't play.
I was surprised when Bridges got that pick. I was like, wait, why is he in the game?
Yeah.
It's the first drive.
Thank God he got the pick. Unfortunately, he only got a field goal from it because you can't score from the 1-yard line. But it is brutal watching this team play defense.
The pre-snap penalties really made me wonder, like, where is this team's energy and focus right now?
Yeah, there was tons of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was killing you on both sides of the ball. Like, that, it's the second drive of the game, and James Houston on, 3rd and 7 is going to line up offsides?
Yeah.
You're actually about to get back-to-back stops.
Yeah.
And then you line up just, it wasn't even like a flinch. Like, oh, crap, the cadence was so good, I jumped. I'm just so ridiculously out of touch with the sport that I'm lining up over the football, just consciously.
That was horrible. That's got to be the worst one, especially because how often that's happened over the last couple of years. That's got to be a major point of emphasis.
Well, anytime that they somewhat get a stop here the last 2 or 3 years, you're just always expecting the score bug, whatever the score bug, here comes the flag.
Here, flag
like
alert.
You look for that yellow flag to come up. So, you know, hands to the face, defensive holding, illegal contact.
Or just simply a neutral zone infraction because he lined up over the ball.
Crazy. But, yeah, that's what it is.
I mean, the talent's so bad. I ran into a longtime Tolo this morning at the park. And by the way, the bees are out. Be careful. Remy's been stung twice in the last 5 days. So that's no fun. But Doug Williams, the former superintendent there at Sunnyvale ISD, maybe the greatest superintendent in the history of Texas schools, he asked how many players on this defense would start elsewhere. And I thought, man, maybe just three.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Osa, Clark, and Bland?
Yep. That's what we established last night.
Yeah. I think it's really actually Bland and Clark.
Yeah, because right now, and hey, I think
Solomon Thomas is actually playing better than Osa.
Well, it's frustrated me, and when we did Love of the Star on Saturday, Brian, we got asked about Perrion Winfrey.
Yeah.
And the people that you were talking to was like, yeah, I mean, I don't know, where can we play? We like him. I don't know where we play. What do you mean, where do you play Perrion Winfrey?
Yeah.
Get Mozzie's ass off the field.
Yeah,
you don't want to play Jake. If you want to play him over Jake, I don't care. Mm-hmm. Why not? And this is the problem with the team. You point at them and you're like, your players aren't good enough. They're going to laugh in your face and tell you you're crazy. You're an idiot. You don't know football. Okay. All right. I guess the rest of the league also doesn't know. Because if you ask around the league, they're going to tell you the Cowboys overvalue their own. And it's evident. I don't know how many players, to your point, that other teams even want. They're so damn bad. And they can't get out of their own way. There's a lot of stubbornness that goes into this. That's probably the overarching problem. But Osa's been the most disappointing of anybody. Because I was a big Osa Digizua fan. He has done nothing this year. And the most alarming part is, he's like that three technique, that's all we hear about in this Flus scheme and this Flus defense, the three tech. Well, Osa's done diddly-poo. So there's problems. But yeah, I mean, I think you're right. Maybe it is just Clark and Blaine. But Kenny Clark got his ass beat yesterday. Mm. Kenny Clark was also a huge problem. So he's another guy. If they decide they want to move on, and they can this offseason, I wouldn't be stunned. He's going to need to start to play better before I'm buying in on Kenny Clark returning to the team. The
older guy, maybe wearing down a little bit.
Yeah, we saw it kind of late in the year last year, but it was a toe injury they were telling us about, you know, and that's something that you probably had to deal with. But, you know, what's just so unfortunate is that they really did believe that they fixed the run defense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to Wolchuk's example right there. By trading for Kenny Clark, you know, they thought, okay, well, here, yeah, we're going to get better on run defense. They misevaluated their linebackers. They misevaluated their edges.
What do you think about the Osa double-teamed excuse?
I think it happens. I think it's clear. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen him double. I know in the Carolina game, when I really first started noticing it quite a bit. But there's double teams that happen. I've seen Solomon Thomas get double teamed and get off the block and get up the field and do some things. I just think that, to me, there's been some plays where Osa has kind of looked a step slow,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, like the ball has gone to, he's lined up in the three technique on the left side, and the ball just kind of goes off the right tackle over here, and he's had a chance to get over. He just hasn't been able to close as quickly as he has in the past.
It was tough to watch at times, depressing, I think. And before too long, we'll be unfortunately talking about there's always next year. Hopefully they can rally over the next couple of weeks and take care of business against Arizona and the Raiders to at least make these games interesting. But the other part of me, you know, wants to say, I hope they don't win. I hope they lose these next two games and, you know, start to put themselves in position for a top 10 pick, because you don't just need players, but you need really good players in order to impact these games. And, you know, I think before too long, we got to talk about the offense as well, because that was not good. I think you just saw the disruption, and maybe I underrated Denver a little bit. I actually picked the Cowboys to win this game, and you talk about an all-time crow eating session, but I was surprised at how they were able to take the Cowboys offense away from what it did well. I thought at one point in the second quarter maybe they're going to settle down and just run the ball, but that wasn't working great either. The tackles, obviously got ghosted multiple times. You get four pressures from Guyton. He's jumping multiple times. One time they called Hoffman for it, but there's two false starts on Guyton basically. And I don't know how good of a game Dak had, but it was probably his worst game of the year. Maybe that or Chicago.
I think, honestly, Gavin, that Steele was worse. Yeah, and I'll say this though, it was, we went into this game kind of feeling like that maybe you would have a way to win. You'd have to win the inside three, and the tackles. I know Steele was by himself about 93% of this game, and Guyton was about 88% by himself, and they had a big problem inside control, and whether just the power that Denver played with inside, the way they were kind of, I thought it was a really poor game for Tyler Smith. I thought it was a poor game for Hoffman. And I don't think Booker was particularly well. You had 9 pressures just from the inside guys.
Yeah.
The inside 3. You know, you're probably going to have pressures from Guyton being a young guy. And I'm not trying to cover for him here. I think when you start talking about going against Nick Benito the way he did, I actually think he played pretty well. Because Nick Benito could just wreck a game.
It started off scary.
It did. And I think that Guyton... I thought Steele was far worse. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Jonathan Cooper. There was a play where Steele wasn't even out of his stance, and Cooper was already pressuring back. It was brutal.
There's the thought of now that I have about putting Nate Thomas out there at right tackle and just trying to continue to grow with the left tackle. It wasn't pretty or perfect or anything like that. I'm just saying, for the amount of reps that he had working against one of the best edges in the league, I think he held himself up. I had more of an issue with what was going on with Smith and Booker than I was anything else on that offensive line.
I don't know that I've seen Tyler Smith on the ground as much in a game ever.
He looked as it almost made me think that he was hurt.
Oh yeah, he's going to be dealing with that knee, I think, till the offseason.
His movement, his awareness, it was almost like he was a rookie player out there. With the way that they were doing stuff to him and to the 3 inside guys. And you couldn't afford to lose that inside game. You lost it yesterday.
I guess the good news is they're getting Cooper Beebe back. Jerry said last night he does not anticipate them becoming sellers. Not now, no, was his answer. Maybe that changes if they go out there and lose to Arizona. You do have some players that other teams would be interested in, but you would have to make some pretty big, bold decisions about how you want to manage this thing moving forward, and taking on a long-term mindset at midseason just has not been this team's MO ever. I think they are willing to kind of wave the white flag once they're mathematically eliminated, but they'll sort of hold out hope and try to sell that to the fan base to keep people engaged, I think is what we're probably looking at, which is unfortunate, but it's common in football. Okay.
And Prescott's in the gun, 3rd and 5, 4-man rush, pressure, spins away from a sack, and then he is buried. The leading sacking team in the league, and the Greenville, Texas native John Franklin Myers just overwhelmed him. That protection just fell apart for a loss of 13.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Is this going to be the whole season on the inevitable march? March to 8-8-1. Perhaps you think it's 7-9-1. Whatever the case may be. I believe this was ESPN. Maybe it was Sports Illustrated. So we talked about it going in. I think Corey, you said 8-9 for the Cowboys, or 9-8.
I had 9-8. Okay. I have my chart actually mapped out. I'm exactly where I said I would be, except for the tie.
Yeah. And so I also thought 9-8. And you look at yesterday, so you win at Denver, you could have sent a message. I know they had their miraculous comeback, but they were still 5-2. And instead, you go back to Cowboys form, you give up your longest run of the season. Bo Nix has 4 touchdown passes. If it was 8, I would have believed it as well. Dak Prescott got intercepted twice while the number 1 offense was held in check. Offensive line certainly didn't help with that. Cowboys have now lost 8 in a row to Denver. And you can look at it now, and I'm sure some people felt like this, but you look at it now and you're like, well, of course they did. Because that's what they have done so often. And that might be what they're lined up to do again this season. And I wonder if we're going to have all these highs and lows just inevitably end up at 8-8-1.
Okay. So, Kevin, everybody has to face this reality right now. Talent-wise, you're not a good defense. You don't have the players defensively to be able to do what you need to do. That's a combination of big whiffs in the draft and downright malpractice and neglect in free agency.
Yep.
Like that's the Cowboys have screwed their defense over by going, we'll wait on DeMarvion Overshown.
Yeah.
And Mozzie will be fine. We don't have to do anything there. We'll just wait until he gets good. Like these.
You know, Tom Landry said, I don't know if you ever heard this quote, that it's the 3rd year you have to wait for that defensive lineman. Here we are.
I feel like you can kind of figure it out.
So he's hitting,
it doesn't
right?
always have to be that.
Oh, okay.
Just whenever your guy hasn't done it in the first 2 years, you got to start using that.
Gotcha.
This is the life we've chosen.
It is.
I know. We need to play that other kid.
Talking
about how he hates this team.
The way I look at it, and this, we all, like, I feel like 8 games in is a pretty good dose of understanding what you really are.
Right.
There are 5 tiers, not streaming down my face. There are 5 tiers that are good, bad teams.
Okay.
3, you're either really good or really bad. Those are the top and bottom tiers.
Okay.
In the middle, it's mediocre, and it's separated into 3 different tiers there.
Okay.
You either are above mediocre, mediocre, or sub-mediocre. A team that can beat bad teams cannot beat good teams and cannot beat above mediocre teams.
Ooh.
You're a bad team.
Oh, no.
And your talent on the defensive side of the ball is bad. You can become a mediocre team with 1 defensive addition, but you have to upgrade a lot in a variety of areas before you can be above mediocre. And that's where the Cowboys are right now. That's like, this team is a sub-mediocre team that if they make the trade to add a defensive player, they're still mediocre. Maybe they go to above mediocre just a little bit, but they are sub-mediocre right now. And that's the reality. So, Kevin, yes, if it's going to be destined to be an 8-8-1 team, 8-8-1 would tell you that you were mediocre.
Yeah.
But if you can't beat mediocre teams, let alone just above mediocre teams, then you are below that. And your record is, it just kind of tells you, yeah, you're in that area. You're in that window, but you're one of the bottom of the mediocre teams because of the losses that you sustain. I'll take that. When you look at your schedule and say, did we beat good teams? No. Did we beat bad teams? All of your wins so far are against teams that have losing records.
I hate this team.
So you understand.
Oh, I get that.
That, exactly. So you understand that you are one of the sub-mediocre. Anybody in that parody that Jerry's always talking about, it is exactly that. Every once in a while, you'll get an outlier, really good teams that have all, they're chock full of talent, got great coaching, they got all the good things going on. And then you'll get the outliers of the really bad teams, the Jets, the Bengals, like the teams that are in that window, they're just, they can't beat anybody. But then there's that trio of, where are you in that mix? Because you could get a chance if you're just above mediocre, but this team is not.
Hey, shut up. The teams we beat have won 6 games.
How many have they lost?
17. And Washington is a 10.5-point underdog tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels logical.
And they didn't have 3 receivers.
Yes.
You were able to do what you wanted to offensively against them.
So it feels logical to say it will probably be 6-18. And you know what's really weird about this all? And then you have a tie in a game that you could have definitely won. You have a tie against the team with the best record in the NFC. That doesn't make any sense. How?
Yeah, it does.
Because that's the Cowboy way.
That game specifically, you leveled up for that one game. Kevin, in Super Mario Brothers, when Mario would get the mushroom and he'd go nuts. Like, you leveled up for that one game because it was against Micah. That's why I ask Jerry this a lot. When are you going to go in there and be a real son of a bee? You know, I've asked him that. Like, they play whenever they realize that Jerry has something on the line and he needs their help. Hey, I traded Micah away, and the team said, we'll respond for you.
Yeah.
Clock guy didn't in that instance, and now we have a tie, obviously. But, like, they will respond. They're just too much. Yeah, they're one of the best teams in the NFL, and you tied them. You tied them.
Yeah,
you got more games coming up, Kevin, where it's just going to the water in the ceiling is starting to build up. And at some point, it's just going to against the Buffalo, against the Detroit, all these other teams. You're going to be like, oh, my gosh, what are we doing here?
And so here in lies, first of all, I think that sound effect is a good description. Here's what's going to happen. And you can almost see it as already being done. You're going to win on Monday Night Football against Arizona, because Arizona is not very good. Plus, you're playing at home, and then you're going to head into the bye week.
Has Kyler ever lost in AT&T Stadium?
Ooh.
Are we still at that point where he hasn't lost a game at AT&T?
Are you sure he's going to play?
That's a good point.
And so I think you're going to win that game. which is not what you want for the big picture of this franchise. That's just me.
Because you
personally
go into the bye week with all these like dreams.
Not only the bye week, but the next day is the trade deadline. And so once again, could you fool yourself into thinking, hey, we're 4-4-1. We just made an upgrade. We're coming off the bye. We're playing against a terrible Las Vegas team. Those are the teams that we feast on. And that therein lies a little bit of the problem if you look at the schedule. Like, I know that November schedule around Thanksgiving is going to punch you in the face. But the next two teams that you play, they have a combined record of 4-10. These are the teams that you usually feast against. And I hope... I know Jerry said like what would happen in the game would not necessarily impact his thought process on how
we'll
to make,
all in.
I know on how to make the team better. I really hope that it does, because maybe you destroy Arizona because you're awesome at home and you're awesome on beating up against crap opponents. And then maybe Overshown really does come back for that Monday night football game. And maybe you beat up on another crap opponent. All of a sudden you're 5-4-1 and they feel justified about if they did anything at the trade deadline. But realistically,
so you don't have the feeling that if you just hang around that you can.
No, look,
things can turn around.
And that's why most of the year I have not really wanted to make moves with those. Just in general, but certainly not with those top draft picks. I think the right thing to do for the health of your franchise overall is to just wait. I don't think people are going to stop talking about the Cowboys next year just because you have another crap season. We've seen it before. And guess what? Everybody still talks about the Cowboys, because let's say you make a trade and you get Overshown back. Now you're 5-4-1. Rock on. Do you think? Then do you honestly think, here's your rest of your schedule, host Philly, host Kansas City, at Detroit, host Minnesota, host the Chargers, at Washington, at New York. You think down the stretch you're going 5-2 to finish the season at 10-6-1? Because if you do, if you honestly do, and I kind of think that the front office honestly does think that, then I understand why you're going to go for it. But I think if we're all being real with ourselves, that ain't going to happen. And that's why making whatever move for especially a one-year player that will be gone after this year, I think would be hugely problematic and very, very short-sighted.
All right, Kevin, if you were going to go 5-2, let's in that stretch there, if you were going to go 5-2, which teams are you beating? Giants and Washington on the road? Maybe the Chargers?
I think maybe Minnesota.
Maybe Minnesota?
Because those are home games, so you'd have to beat
either the Chiefs, Eagles, or Lions.
Yeah, and you might have to win two of those games. I don't see it, because as much as I thought they looked kick-ass against Washington, it was without their three best players. You throttled the Jets. The Jets are terrible. You needed, thank God for Brandon Aubrey, to beat the New York Giants, and they still don't look good. Even when they switched out their quarterback, they've had plenty of their own struggles. So the thought that you're going to beat Philly, beat Kansas City, go on the road and beat Detroit, nonsense.
I do, because somebody said it wouldn't matter because Eberflus is still your coordinator.
It seems like they're pretty dug in.
I am kind of curious on the front of, does he have NFL players on his side of the football?
And that's, so like,
if you gave him NFL players on his side of the football, is he better, or did you buy him to make your players NFL players?
Which that,
because right now they don't look like an NFL defense.
That feels like a mistake. But
like, I feel like your whole goal is to litter the side of the ball with as much talent as you possibly can, so that you can be in position to make a move that would say, yeah, that'll put us over the top for that 5-2 stretch at the end of the game.
And that's a way more
of the year.
That's a way more terrifying prospect, right? And that's why so many people say fire Eberflus, because you're hoping like, hey, we can make that one
somebody
move.
Somebody else
and you're
has
all good
a magic wand. Yeah.
Because if you don't, the harder move to pay attention to is, hey, I'm glad you got Deron Bland, but what else is happening out there? Safety's getting injured all the time, and when they're not injured, are they really that great? Trayvon Diggs, maybe he comes back, maybe he doesn't, but his heart, or maybe his skill level because of the injuries, doesn't really seem to be into it. Hey, Marshawn Nealand, are you still on this football team? Hey, Dante Fowler, that one game was awesome against, I think, the Jets. Where have you been all of these other times? Are we really depending on Shamar James, the fifth round pick, to take over and do everything like that? You've already mentioned Mazi Smith. We've talked about that. So, like, That's way more intimidating to think about, because then all of a sudden you're like, hey, we got two extra first-round picks. Who's making those picks?
Let's go.
And how are they going
to
do
it? We're going to need to break those down into multiple third-round picks so that we can fill the defense up with more players.
Okay, because otherwise people are going to be thinking, let's take more Marshawn Nealands. Let's take more Mozzie Smiths.
We need more offensive linemen.
Yes, that is true.
You
need
the
a right and a left tackle. Well, we got Nate Thomas ready to roll. Let's see if they'll end up deploying him. But yeah, you have a lot of issues. I know that's not the way. I know that's not what's going to happen with Steven today, with Jerry tomorrow. You just say, hey, we got people coming back. We're going to turn it around, and you got to execute and everything like that.
If we can get this win against Arizona, then we can get to the bye week and reassess where we are and then make a big push on the other side.
And I'm not saying they're the only team that does this, because they're most definitely not. But I kind of wish that internally, at least, they would be like, this team is not good enough. Maybe trade off a couple of people and continue to stockpile draft picks and then figure it out from there. Because I don't think this way works at all. Okay, well, I gave it a shot, Jerry.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contracts. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes. Stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead. Try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Early fourth quarter, snap to Bo Nix. Back and looking, standing. Throws it in the back of the end zone. That's pitch and catch. Easy catch to Franklin for the touchdown. And it looks like he got completely away from Bridges. That coverage got all messed up.
Star down, brought to you by Wild Fork Foods and Johnson Fitness and Wellness. We are commercial free in the expressway on the home of the Cowboys. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and our insider back from Denver, Bobby Bell. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back. Best and worst of the weekend at 7:40. Do we have any star ups at 8 o'clock? We'll get to that. Diamond Cavs with the World Series, Mavs and Stars weekend as well at 8:20. But now the big question. Did yesterday impact or affect the way you feel about the Cowboys and the trade deadline? I put up this poll question, 1,850 votes on X, 1053SS. Follow me, I'll follow you back. Does it change how you feel about the deadline? The options are, don't trade for help, still trade for help, or sell? How would you vote? And what do you think the result is, RJ?
I looked.
Okay.
I looked.
How would you vote?
I voted. And that's a private matter.
Hasn't stopped you from sharing before.
Is it rigged?
Yeah, I voted for whatever one was on the right, furthest right that went. No, my only two options, I had narrowed it down. It was either sell or don't do anything. It's not buy. So I voted don't do anything. I look back at it. I'm like, you know what? If you're not going to do anything, you might as well just sell. But I don't mean sell big. I mean sell small. Like, you know, selling, I always like to sell more than buy.
Did the game impact anything?
No, not really. I was never like a big buy guy anyway. Like, if you were to tell me that I could get like a Max Crosby and I have years with him, I mean, I could be talked into it. It's not my first option. I wouldn't do it. I could be talked into it. But I don't think we're one player away. I don't think we're two players away defensively.
Two players.
Yeah. There are a lot of players away. So I don't know, man. I can't be going into buy-in.
Basically stay and hold.
At least stay, yeah.
Bob?
I guess it could shift depending on a performance that occurs next week or something like that. Right. But as of this moment, like, that game flips me over to, like, don't buy at all. Because it's just...
I want to stop down on that for just a second.
Mm-hmm.
Because Brian brought us in the post game.
They wanted to go to Dollar Tree.
Well, Walchuk said he doesn't think this will impact Jerry. He thinks Jerry will still buy. By the way, Jerry after the game said, no, it doesn't impact at all. That's just Jerry negotiating publicly. No, there's no impact. No, I'm open for business all the time. Anything could happen. That's his sales pitch. What I'm going to disagree with specifically is Broadus. He was kind of chiding some people in saying you can't change your mind. If you've been wanting them to buy over the past 2 weeks, don't come now and use four quarters to say, no, I've changed my mind. And I disagree with him over that. So, Bobby, when you first started off and said, no, after this game, mm-hmm. I'm not buying, I agree with you. You have to use the games to judge where you are and how far away you are. So if I was feeling it a little bit after the Jets game, okay. If I was feeling it a little bit after the Commanders game, okay. Well, the Cowboys now have a real challenge on the road. And it's usually a test they always fail. These types of games, they usually fail. They certainly do against the Broncos. So I need to judge a litmus test against a real opponent, best defense in the league. If the Cowboys lost that game 27-24, I feel different. If you get destroyed like they did and your defense is completely helpless, okay, any optimism and hope I had after the Washington game is completely flushed. I'm going to trust my instinct and where I said that was because they didn't have any weapons and Janos got hurt. The Jets were even worse than we thought.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I do need the Denver game to formulate a clear opinion. And my opinion is right there along with Bobby and you. I'm definitely not buying. We can talk about selling minor, but don't buy.
I just went to look at their odds. I Googled their odds. The first one that popped up was FanDuel.
Cowboys for playoffs?
Cowboys for winning the Super Bowl.
Oh.
Winning the Super Bowl. Because I'm not going to buy just to make the playoffs. Okay. If they're just going to make the playoffs and lose, I'm not going to buy.
And that's a worry for many Tolos. They're like, get ready for the overpay.
Yeah.
Get ready for the... What happened in the NFC yesterday, that may have helped Jerry's cause. You had San Francisco lose to Houston.
Big.
Right? The Giants are going to be even further away from you mm-hmm. after Scataboo got hurt.
Sure. It's open.
Green Bay ended up beating Pittsburgh. Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Tough loss.
They ended up losing. So they're 4-3, right? Carolina's 4-4. They're kind of around it. Carolina's 4-4. That's surprising.
They have the tiebreaker on you.
They have the tiebreaker. So you had some weird losses yesterday that will probably mm-hmm. help Jerry sell more.
It probably will. Now, listen, but I just looked at where are they? you know, their odds right now to win the Super Bowl are 75-1. Which, if you compare that to college, that's the same as basically the same as Georgia Tech. So the Cowboys have the same chance to win the Super Bowl as Georgia Tech does. The implied odds on 75-1 is 1.3%. How can I buy with a 1.5% chance?
Get in the tournament. That's what you say a lot. Get in the tournament.
For sure. No,
roll the dice.
Absolutely true. There's no doubt about that.
It's like Rangers pitching. You said the Rangers get in the postseason and the pitching can win. Why does it not apply to the Cowboys offense?
Because baseball is, I think, easier for a random team to go on a run than football.
I agree with you overall. I'm just asking what's the difference.
It's basically the NFL has become Chiefs and either San Fran, Rams, or Philly. It seems like out of the NFC.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. There's a couple different things. One, it changes my opinion on buying right now just because. And again, I wasn't even full on just like, yeah, go out there and buy anything. Like I was with the Rangers. I was like, go get a bat anywhere. Just get a bat. I don't care where. And I don't care. Just go buy something. Cowboys, I wasn't at that point with. Cowboys, it was like, I need very specific things defensively, and I need you to do, like, I needed a certain quality of player, and I only want to give up certain assets, or the assets had better match this. So that was where that was. Now, the problem is that when you take the result of the game and the fact that you're probably going to have to go minimum 7-2 the rest of the way now, in all likelihood, because you're 3-4-1, 10-6-1 is what you probably need to get to. Yeah. So you got to go 7-2, which you've done before. You made the trade for Amari Cooper. You went 7-2 after you got him.
With this schedule, though,
they had what was thought to be a tough schedule at the time.
Yeah.
Now they obviously that's an offensive player though. That's somebody who touches the ball. It's a big difference maker. So the result changes it one because of what it does in terms of the odds of winning something the rest of the way. Two, I think Denver showed you yesterday if teams want to slow down this offense that looks historic almost, blitz them or do something to just figure out a way to generate as much pressure as you can, because that offensive line isn't good enough at blocking things up, and that's how you can neutralize it.
It does look more manageable than it did at the start of the year, the schedule. Right? Now, in order to go 7-2 down the stretch, they probably have to go 2-1 in their three-game stretch against Philly, Kansas City, and the Lions.
Probably.
So go down the games. Arizona.
Arizona and the Raiders, so let's
go win-win.
Win-win. And then home to Philly.
Okay.
Home to the Chiefs. At Detroit. Home to Minnesota. Home to the Chargers. And then at Washington and at the Giants to end the year.
All right. I wrote down 4 definite wins, 3 losses, 2 maybes.
What were the 3 definite losses?
Kansas City, Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not actually write the teams. I just did little arrows.
I mean, it could have been Philly at home. I mean, it could have been the Chargers at Washington.
Because I see two. I feel like what I see right now on the schedule is 2 definite losses, which is Kansas City and Detroit. But I think the rest of the schedule, they're going to find another.
Oh, yeah.
So like, to me, it's like, and that's not even like they'll find a way. It's just the NFL. One of those other games will be a loss.
It could happen Monday.
Sure. They can't.
They never play well.
They have problems with Arizona.
Arizona's weird.
So the Tolo poll result is this. Did yesterday change how you feel about the deadline? Then we'll get to some calls. 48% say sell. 30% say don't trade for help. And 21% agreeing with us. Still trade for help is the last option. So 21% are not agreeing with us, but third is still trade for help. And that's the way we're feeling about it. Jerry Jones was asked yesterday in the post if they could really be one player away to help this D?
Well, I don't know what's realistic. Could one better player, if we didn't pay too big a price to have a better player on defense, could it possibly help? And I'm not trying to be cute, but that's why you'd go get him, is that you'd think it could help your defense. We one player away on defense. I think we're not. I think we're more than that away, but what we're closer to than it looks in my mind is executing better on defense. But they're pretty sound. They've got a young quarterback, and I'll give them that, and they've done a really good job with getting them in a spot to win games.
All right. the most important thing. Thank God he said we're not one player away, even though it's all about execution, blah, blah, blah. But at least he knows they're not one player away.
That's scary if he thought they were.
If he thought they were. So latest on Cowboys trade view. Diana Russini spoke with Jerry at the owners' meetings, and I think Jerry is he's been caught here in some truth-telling. He'll join us tomorrow at 8:30. Trey Wingo was right. Trey Wingo was right, ultimately. But Jerry told Russini, no, we did not call about Max Crosby and the Raiders. And Russini also said the Raiders are not trading Max Crosby. So that was Russini saying, did not happen. Jay Glazer, who doesn't miss, went on Fox and gave this report.
Well, Dallas is trying. They've actually called around to try and trade for these two guys over here. They called the Raiders for Max Crosby.
No.
Was told no. Yes. They called the Bengals for Trey Hendrickson. Was told no. They are calling around for help on defense, but they're not the only ones. Washington's calling for a defensive end. The trade deadline is in about 9 days from now. The Eagles are always calling around looking for help on defense as well. Giants are the only ones who kind of stay put.
Jerry told Russini, yeah, if there's a move, it would not be pass rush. Remember, he came on with us Friday, and he goes, what do you guys want me to you want me to talk about trading for Deion? You want to find a Deion Sanders? And it was like, oh, there's a corner there? So Jerry, in my opinion, is just trying to throw everybody off the scent. They call, I believe, Jay Glazer over everyone. Let me make that clear. The Cowboys called about Hendrickson. They called about Crosby. Jerry told Russini they did not call about Crosby. And Jerry told her, look at the secondary or the back end versus the D-line. That's where we stand.
I would also say that if there's a discrepancy there, I would say I don't think that Jay was talking to Jerry when he was told that, is what I would guess. And so because of that, that could also be, there may be internal disagreements about what they should pursue, or there may just be a different feeling.
Yeah, but Jerry knows that they called about Hendrickson and Crosby.
Sure.
So him telling Russini that, in my opinion, was not true.
But if he had been told already no on Hendrickson and Crosby, and he was like, well, those were the edges we would trade for, so we're not trading for that. And so what we would trade for is we feel closer on some of these other calls we've made. It could have been that he's just addressing, it's not going to be that because we've already been told no on these guys.
Okay. What do you make of that? Calling for Hendrickson, Crosby?
I have no problem with them calling.
I don't have a problem with them calling. I would have had an issue with them acquiring.
Sure.
Because
I think you'd be calling everybody.
I want bodies, man.
Mm-hmm. The Bengals are stupid, by the way. I mean, I know he got hurt yesterday. The Bengals are stupid for just a flat shutdown on trading Trey Hendrickson. Right. They're morons if they do that.
Look, anybody on a
one. They lost to the Jets.
Anybody who's coming up on a contract, I mean, needs to have that conversation. You need to have that conversation with if you're a team that has that player.
Pickens?
Yes, absolutely. No doubt. I mean, if they lose to Arizona, that has to be a phone call. Kirk, your season's probably over.
Kirk in Maryland is on the D&M Leasing Hotline. We take some Tolo calls. Kirk, your thoughts on yesterday, and does it affect your trade deadline view?
First of all, good morning, guys. Mine is not just because of, as a Cowboy fan, it's just because of, if you look at where in the division, not the division, the conference, 4, 5, and 6 is at 5-2, where I still would sit there and go out and try to make a trade just because of you're still in it. You're not out of it yet, as bad as we played. And to me, I was going to ask Bobby this. Bobby, is this the worst Cowboys defense you've ever watched? This seemed like the worst Cowboys defense I've ever in my life watched, and I'm 55 years old.
It's right there with 2020. 2020 was so bad. It's different things. This defense just consistently gets beat. That 2020 defense, it was like, you need a stop and you're going to allow a game on the line, 50-yard touchdown reverse to Odell Beckham where he looked like he was caught 13 yards behind the line of scrimmage. That, it's hard for me to say anybody was worse than 2020. 2020 is probably the worst I've ever seen, but this is close.
1960. That's what they say. I don't know.
Where do you think the Cowboys are in the conference?
As a team or?
Yeah. There's 16 teams.
This is like our own BCS ranking kind of thing. Yeah,
seeding.
No,
don't look it up. I'm asking.
No,
what do you
know. So right off the top of my head, Seattle's better. The Rams are better.
No, just factually, where are they? This is how Jerry's going to look at it. Like, what seed are they in the NFC?
Oh, I already know what they're 10th.
Yep, they're 10th. So 3-4-1.
And the teams directly in front of you have beaten you, so they have tiebreakers.
Carolina.
And Chicago.
Chicago. You're going to face Detroit as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's going to be... We're in the thick. We're in the thick of it.
Middle of the season.
Brian in Arkansas. You're up next here on the Home of the Cowboys. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, guys. Well, no, first-time caller. Love the show. Listen to y'all every morning.
Appreciate it.
Okay, here's... So be quick. Dak is a... I've always been kind of like against Dak, but I've always liked the one thing about him. We can win with him. We can lose with him. He plays hero ball because our defense is terrifyingly horrible.
Yeah.
So everybody knocking on Dak, be quiet. The dude's trying everything he can to win a game. I'm giving him full support because I know he's trying. Our defense needs more than one player. Sell. Sell George. Sell whatever you can get from anybody except for Bland, except for Clark. I mean, the young guys, Nealon, he's horrible. Sam, I don't know what's wrong with him anymore. Leah Fowler, what's wrong with these linebackers, safeties? I mean, come on. We need a whole defensive redo.
Yep.
I would rather them play rookies. I mean, just pull in rookies and give them a shot because it's just bad. I mean, you cannot fix this team with one player, two players, maybe six. I don't know. But I'm just saying the defense is bad, and it's been bad. We got beat by Carolina. We got just completely hosed by Denver. It's not the offense's fault. You can't say, Dak, I need you to get 35 points every week or we lose.
Thanks for the call, Brian. Yeah, my mindset right now is I'm re-signing Pickens, and then I need the young draft salaries. I'm not bringing another big-time player that makes a lot of money here. George Pickens is my priority, and then I'm drafting or trading back for as many bodies with cheaper salaries.
I would I'd sign Pickens as well. What is the can't pass it up trade number for you?
For George?
Yeah, let's say they lose this week to Arizona. Monday morning they get phone calls. Sunday night they get phone calls.
I mean, if somebody said they'd give you a first for Pickens, I would take that. And I love Pickens, but to me it's just they've got so many different things they need to fill.
And that would give them 3 ones. They'll give him 5 ones over the next 2 years.
I need to think about that. Merrill in Waxahachie. Merrill, you're up next here on Sean, RJ, and Roberto. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Start for George Pickens. I know I won't get in at 8 o'clock. The defense broke it. The team broke itself when it got rid of your number one player on the team and the number one of the best players in the league. You don't just fix that. You can't trade. You can't buy. You just hold what you got and rough it out. The team doesn't have enough discipline. They don't have enough players. They don't have enough coaching. They don't have enough of anything to win anything.
Yep.
So why would you buy a sale or just hold what you got? You broke your team when you got rid of Michael Parsons. And unless you're going to get two or three of those guys on defense.
Well, Merrill, let me ask you a question real quick. We are comparing this to some defenses that Micah was on. So You don't think Micah's fixing this defense, right?
No, he wouldn't fix this defense. He couldn't. He couldn't fix it when he was here.
Yep.
He can't fix it when he's gone. So what are you doing? But he was obviously and clearly above and beyond the other players, for just the double teams he drew, for the pass rushes he pressured, for the tackles and the sacks he made. He was one of the key pieces, and you just let the guy go.
Yep.
So keep picking and don't do nothing else.
Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you. Dak was asked yesterday in the post if he thinks a trade would turn things around.
I'd hope. Yeah, but then again, I trust and I like the guys that we have. I honestly do, and that's not just a political answer or whatever it is. Like, you've seen some of these games we've won, and honestly, even the tie and some of the games we've lost, like, our roster's okay. Can it be better? That's for you guys to write about and to judge. I trust those guys. We've got to be better in everything that we do. Getting a trade, right, takes opportunities and plays away from somebody else. And so I just echo to those people or to the guys in the locker room, right, like forget a trade. Do more, right? Like shut that talk up, whether it be offense, whether it be defense, whatever position group that you guys are alluding to. Step up and shut the talk up.
Yeah, that's He's protecting.
Well, they're doing a tremendous job PR-wise.
Yeah, they are.
He's protecting.
PR firm.
The quarterback can't say we have to go trade for somebody. Like especially yeah. like Dak as the leader cannot just basically give a vote of no confidence in guys on the roster.
They bring a receiver in to the slot. Nick's back. Throws it out to Harvey. Wide open. Got away from Shamar James. Touchdown, Denver.
You may have to do a montage of Sham sounding exactly the same.
Dejected Sham.
Dejected Sham with every single wide open Denver Bronco that leads to the Cowboys getting worked 44-24.
Nega Sham. Negative. Negative Sham. Nega Sham.
Nega Sham.
Nega Sham.
That's not bad. That's your new career.
Listen, again,
ESPN, the little tricky porn headlines. What's Cuban call it? Headline porn.
Headline.
That's it.
Headline corn on TikTok. That's
yeah, because you can't say that.
But yeah, Nega Sham.
Okay. We're going to get back to the game at 8:40. Star up, star down, brought to you by Wild Fork Foods, Johnson Fitness and Wellness. Bobby's back from Denver. I'm Sean Treif alongside RJ Choppy. The news came out on Saturday that Trayvon Diggs is going on IR. So he is now out for 4 games. Bobby, this does not take into account the games already missed, and should they have made that decision sooner? I got a bunch of Trayvon questions I'm about to fire off, so
and
be
why
ready.
Does it account? Because like, I think in other sports, you could like retroactively, I know in baseball, you could retroactively put somebody on the IL. Like, why can't they count the games missed?
I don't know. Do you think he needs to be on IR?
That's another question. Diggs has been so bad and he looks so slow. I do think we have to ask if they made a mistake letting him come back too early. Like Jesse Ali made a good point. I thought when people were debating his value, he goes, "Yo, man, there's a lot of bums out there playing corner." He's not trying to call Trayvon a bum, but he's like, "There's a lot of Nashawn Wright, who did nothing here, is on a roster and making some plays for the Chicago Bears." Look at our secondary. Look at our secondary and the no names that are back there. So Trayvon Diggs can make another team and play. I have to believe, Bobby, that he is banged up to a degree that it has a, he can't be this terrible and this awful. So part of me thinks, okay, maybe Diggs came back too soon.
Sure.
Never fully recovered, and that has contributed to how bad he's been.
It makes complete sense to connect those dots, and it may actually be the case to say that he came back too soon and that this was a problem. I think it also makes sense to say that some of what we see,
like I believe the first 2 games, Bob, are concussion, and then the other is like maintenance recovery.
Yeah,
but now he's gonna miss 3 more?
So yeah.
Does yesterday count?
Yeah. Yeah. So he's going to be out 3 more. So it's, and that's a minimum of it. I think this is them buying time to figure out what they want to do with him. Like, I think there's a legitimate.
Nick Harris tweeted that this could be it.
Yeah. Nick said flat out, he thinks this is, and he said, "This is not a report. This is just me, my gut feeling taken in on it. I think he's played his last game here." I don't think that that's a wild take. I think that that's potentially what's happened here.
What's his value?
We made this.
What's his value?
I mean, told you it's not above a 5th.
We talked about. I can't remember if we actually discussed this on the air, or if it's just something we talked about during a break. But he is, I think, for the Cowboys, he's the girl that they married, and they're like, "This is a different person than I was dating." Like I thought, like, "Oh yeah, this is, you know, Susie Homemaker, and she's we're so in love and everything else." And then it became, "Oh, she doesn't want to stay home. She doesn't seem to like me very much. She doesn't like," there's all these different things. It's like, well, this is just a completely different individual than I married. And I think they felt like, man, we've got competitive. We've got a guy with a real edge. We've got somebody who is
ballhawk.
Just, yeah, well, is one of those rare guys who can legitimately, not just in the instances of rhetoric, but legitimately can take something somebody says to him, and instead of letting him beat it up, he internalizes it as like, "I'm going to get better because I hate you so much now. I want you," like they loved the intensity that he had with that. And then it became, here's his contract. Does he like playing football. Like it's just a completely different demeanor. It's a completely different approach to where I think they're just like, we need some time to think through this. So it's a little bit like trial separation, maybe, I think. And so there's definitely an excuse for it to be able to match up and say he needs to be on IR. So there is something that can go with that. But I feel like this is also an evaluation period for them.
What are you evaluating? Just like, Not the way he's acting, but what to do financially.
What can we do financially? Can we get away with not having him here? Like, let's see what this looks like with him kind of sitting out for a little bit.
Does yesterday help his value to this team? With no names and the secondary play being awful?
It just looked like the same defense it's been. The week before didn't help. That didn't help Trayvon. And so, like, if you want to talk about...
They were missing all their receivers.
It's easier for them to decide... What do we look like without him, without the public scrutiny of, did you bench him? Because right now he's on IR. There's nothing we can do. So I think they're evaluating what they can do. There's also Calvin Watkins said this, and I haven't looked at this yet, that he's listed in the NFLPA right now as not having an agent. And I don't know when that happened because I would have to look and see. But if he doesn't have an agent, that's another thing that would probably raise a little bit of a red flag of like, what's going on? Yeah. Why you've been with his agent's name is Ryan Rubin or was. He's been with Ryan Rubin all the way back to like when he came out of Alabama, has been with him the whole time, got the thing. They had a good relationship. I don't know why all of a sudden he would be without one.
What would that indicate to a team?
That just in general, there's some sort of instability around Trayvon Diggs right now that they can't pin. Like there's just something that's like, this is not the guy we knew.
Brian Schottenheimer on the decision to IR Diggs.
Yeah, you know, just, you know, after visiting with the medical staff, you know, we just, you know, we felt like the best interest of the team and Trayvon was to get him back healthy. You know, I mean, he missed last game. He was going to miss this game. You know, he's not through phase one yet of the concussion protocol. You know, the knee has been problematic throughout the season. And, you know, there's been games that's been like, hey, can he play? Can he not? But, you know, he's a really good player. And we just want to get him back and get him healthy and, again, be able to help us finish strong because we feel like this thing's going to come down to the end of the season because it's a very competitive league that we're in.
Did his second year really kind of skew our view of him anyway as a player?
Who?
Diggs with all the picks.
No. Like
his first year, he wasn't great, but it's a normal rookie year. Yeah.
He was solid as a rookie corner.
And then he has the great year.
Yeah.
And
he was fantastic, shut down. The first 2 weeks before he got hurt and tore the ACL, he was shut down.
And then since then?
Yeah, 23, those first 2 weeks against the Jets and the Giants, he looked like he was about to take the leap to be one of the best corners in football.
I think, and you can put the camera on, quote me, not have anyone else involved.
Josh Clark.
I know Diggs Mafia, what they're going to do, and Trayvon may actually be in the DMs. I think Trayvon Diggs is lucky he's not on NFI. And I think Trayvon Diggs is lucky he's still getting his salary on this injured designation versus the non-football injury list for this concussion. I think he's lucky that he's still getting paid for 4 weeks. That's how I feel about it.
I mean, we still don't know what happened, but if it was something,
we're
going
to know.
I would assume we'll find out in an official capacity.
It'll know behind the scenes.
Yeah, right now they are doing a great job of protecting him, right? Because if they leak and let out what happened, then the whole thing's probably over with the broken trust. They are doing him a now they may not.
It's HIPAA.
They may not totally know because of what Trayvon told them. If it was a silly recreational.
If he's out,
he's not telling him that.
If he's out skateboarding, right? That's one thing. If you know, like that to me is actually worse because you're doing an act. It's like playing basketball. Pick up basketball and you rip up your knee, right? Yeah, that's definitely something worse.
Than what? That to me is more acceptable if you're playing hoops.
It's probably
then. I guess it just depends on then what.
Then skiing,
like.
Skeet, of course. Yeah, but anything where you're playing another activity and you get hurt, there's a lot of guys that would have in their contract, the contract gets voided.
Yeah, but you know, you're trying to be in shape. you know, like your
cardio. I get it. I get it.
I'm talking about like partying, falling, doing something recreationally fun.
Yeah, the fact that this occurred away from the facility, that sounds like whatever it was probably does qualify for NFI because it would just be, it's a non-football injury. So if he's on NFI, like at that point, I think the team has the option then to evaluate if they would want to do something.
The fact that he's not on NFI tells me one of two things. One, they're trying to salvage something of the relationship, or it was a crazy accident that could happen to anyone, and we're not going to punish you by keeping your money.
Or they're trying to determine if they, they're trying to salvage the relationship. They're just in a period of like, do we want to salvage it right now, or do we just want to blow it up? Like, they just haven't decided on it. Could be what it is, too.
Jerry, with his Diggs thoughts.
Again, I don't know. It depends upon, he's got an area that's hurt, and that'll have to heal. And so that'll be as we get into it, and we'll see how it goes. He's just generally got to get in better shape to play.
That's got to get in better shape to play. And then he followed it right back up. He got asked a follow up about, do you expect to have him back this year? And he's like, sure, why not? Sure, yeah. and then when he answered at the end, he said, but he's got to get in better shape. Back-to-back answers, he said, better shape, which is...
That to me is a banged-up thing.
If it's healing, sure.
Not that he's, like, fat or out of shape.
I think the way he said it, that was twice where he was, like... He basically just, I think, questioned conditioning.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Todd Archer confirmed, I think Broadus did yesterday, you can be traded on IR. So you can still be dealt.
On this type of IR, right? Like, if you're on season-ending? Yeah.
Now, Steven and Shoddy painted it as... We need to get him right so he can help us at the end of the year. Maybe that's PR or they are truly evaluating. But that is the Diggs update. Three games after the Saturday decision.
Yeah, I mean, it's not been good this year. Whether it's injury or buy-in or anything else, it's not been good from him this year.
877-881-1053. Frank LaFranco, injury attorney, text line here on DFW Sports Station. If it is time to sell... Who should the Cowboys look to deal? That's next. And B-Low.
D-Belt.
Right here on 105.3 The Fan. But, what a fantastic Wild Fork weekend as I went ahead and charred the tri-tip on Friday. As soon as I got home from work, I was texting back and forth with my guy Royal. I put out all the barbecue pictures of the dry brine and cutting against the grain. And I even got a meat slicer that surprised my wife yesterday. Keep your mind out of the gutter. It's Wild Fork. And it is still Porktober that's taking place. I even sent my aunt an awesome care package in Maryland. Check your city and state so you can be smoking and grilling like a Texan. Sent her a bone-in ribeye prime selection that she's going to absolutely love. And my number one favorite is the chimichurri outside skirt steak. And it's not Wagyu. It's choice. I can't believe it. That's my number one favorite bite right there at Wild Fork. I still have the pork picanha in the freezer that all the Tolos are asking me about. And, of course, ribs that are winning barbecue competitions in the Metroplex. 9 DFW locations. It's not a restaurant. It's Wild Fork. WildForkFoods.com. Download the app. Sign up for the free delivery with the membership. And fall for Porktober at Wild Fork before it ends.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.